Well, thank you, Mike and Kaylin, for reading scripture for us this morning. So this morning, instead of going through all 14 verses that were just read for us, we're going to be diving into a smaller portion of that scripture, one verse to be exact, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the past two Sundays, Pastor Josh and Mark went through verses 1 through 13, and for those that are interested, their sermons can be found on the church website. But I wanted to have Mike and Kay read the first 13 verses because I want to do a small recap, and I'm actually going to be tying in verse 14 with a couple verses prior to that as well. So 2 weeks ago, Josh kicked things off, and he talked about Jesus being the Christ. And in him we find life. The Word was with God in the beginning, Jesus. And in him we find life. And then last week, Pastor Mark touched on identity. When we put our identity in Christ, the true light, we become children of God, divinely born into the family of God. So here's where I want to pick up. Jesus is the true light. In him, we find life. We as believers of Jesus Christ, we as his followers, when we put our identity in him, we become children of God. And this, my friends, is good news. And good news is something we want to share, yes? Good news is something we want to share, yes? So my question is, are we sharing it? I mean, this time of year is an amazing time to do so because there is so much joy in the air. But I fear that sometimes that the joy that's in the air is actually only temporary joy. I fear that our joy is not coming from the Word, but our joy is coming from the world. Our joy this time of year can be temporary because we tend to lose focus and put our focus on other things rather than the Word. So I'm thankful to unpack this verse this morning because I believe it's super important. Actually, it is pivotal, right? It's the incarnation verse. The Word became flesh. And I fear that sometimes we could just blow right by verse 14 with all that's in there in one verse, right? Listen to this first sentence. Actually, read this with me, the first part of verse 14 together. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Wow. I mean, doesn't that excite you? I get goosebumps from that. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And actually, when we link this verse to where John starts in chapter 1, I think it even brings more excitement to it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is so amazing right there. And I'm not saying we should skip verses 1 in between verses 1 to 14, right? But I just want you to see how cool this is together. Take a look at this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word that was with God in the beginning became flesh. Wow. And then I go back and I put other verses between 1 and 14 next to 14, and I get even more excited, right? Listen to this. The Word that was with God in the beginning. In that Word. What Word? The Word that was with God in the beginning. In that Word, we find life. Verse 4. And that life was a light to all mankind. Verse 5. That light shines out the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That Word that has life in it, that was a light to all mankind, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And darkness does not outshine it. Jesus Christ. Wow. That Word that was with God in the beginning came sent by the Father to who? To us. Made his dwelling to who? To us. To who? Sinful creatures. Fallen. Now, here's the really cool thing, and if you're with us this morning and it's your first time here, or maybe you haven't been to church in a while, or maybe you're somewhere on the spectrum where your faith is on the rocks, just listen to this, because this is for all of us, and this is where it really gets amazing to me. The Word that was with God in the beginning was sent by the Father at just the right time. Let me say it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was sent by the Father and became flesh at just the right time. There's a verse on top of your bulletins, Galatians 4:4. Paul tells it this way. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The sponsors and I went through this 2 weeks ago with the youth, and actually, the junior high just heard this verse last week, and I thought, wow, this is something that I want the congregation to hear, too. When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. And why is this cool? Well, here's why. Starting in Genesis, in the beginning, yes, we see God created the universe, the world, the earth, and everything in it. And then we have the fall of mankind, right, where sin enters into the world. And then we read throughout the Old Testament of God's chosen people, the Israelites, failing over and over and over again. And then we see the kingdom divided. And then the Israelites are sent into exile. And then they're allowed to come back into their homeland. And they come back into their homeland, and here's the thing, they're as stubborn as ever. They're as stubborn as ever. I invite you to turn your Bible to Malachi, to chapter 3, if you have it with you. I'm going to have it on the screens too, but if you have your Bible in front of you, I invite you to turn there. Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 13, says this, "You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? Verse 14, you have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. What's the point? Right? In other words, they're saying, what's the point? Evildoers prosper, why shouldn't we? And we see the people get to this point where there is just no hope, right? And it seems like they just don't even care. And we get to this other point where then the Old Testament ends and there's this large span of time of 400 years before even Jesus even comes, right? And Rome takes over. And again, I say, it's to this point where there is no hope, where they just seem like they don't care. And then God sends his Son. Then, at a time that was unexpected, God sent his Son. The Word that was with him in the beginning was sent and became flesh, made his dwelling among us, sinful humans living in a sinful world. I could end the sermon right there. Here's the thing, verse 14 has two sentences to it, so there's more to unpack. But wow, boy, do we need to be reminded of this. But we lose our focus. Our attention goes elsewhere. Even during this month, our attention goes elsewhere. And I wanted you to see my joy right from the beginning. Right? I wanted you to see my joy right from the beginning that is coming from the Word. Just sitting here reading it right in front of you. But the world takes our focus elsewhere. It gives us temporary joy. Causes us to proclaim other things rather than the name of Christ. I'm sure a lot of us have seen this before, and it was actually great seeing Dave do it with the junior high last Sunday. I asked him if I could use it, but like I said, I'm sure we all seen it. We see this right here at Christmas, and this is what the Word wants us to see, but this is what the world wants us to see. Xmas. And how can we share and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ when we take him out of it? How can we proclaim his glory, right? Me and Alicia were driving the other day, and she'll tell you the honest truth. She loves listening to Christmas music when it starts 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Now, I think that's a serious offense, but that's okay. We have different opinions. But she told me just this past week, she says, you know why I like listening to it? You know why I like listening to it? Because where else do you hear on radio stations outside of Christian radio them singing about the name of Jesus? I was like, wow, that's a great point. So then as I'm driving this week, I'm listening to B101, and I look at their tagline as it goes by, and it says, B101, Philadelphia's number one Xmas station. Well, that misses the point. You see, this next sentence in verse 14 is great, especially during this month, I feel. where our focus can tend to be elsewhere. We read this, we have seen his glory. Whose glory? The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. And you know what John and all the other disciples did with that glory? They proclaimed it. They wrote it down. They allowed themselves, they opened themselves up to be inspired by the Holy Spirit to write something that was God-breathed. They documented it and proclaimed it at a time that was very dangerous, mind us, right? A time where Caesar of Rome was Lord. There's no Lord above Caesar. But they weren't afraid to proclaim that truth. They weren't afraid to proclaim who the true king is, the king of kings, the true light, the one and only. The entire gospel narrative, the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, teachings, miracles, or signs as John refers to them as, all reveals the glory of God, and all of this was revealed at the cross. Right, turn with me to John chapter 14. And I'm going to have it, like I said, I'm going to have it on the screen. But this is really, if you have your Bible in front of you, turn to John 14 because this is what I want us to see. This is the glory that God is revealing. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, starting at verse 1. Jesus says this, and this is as he's praying in the garden before being arrested and taken to Pilate and then to the cross. He prays this to the Father. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you have given me to do. And this is so important. Right here, verse 5. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Let me read that again. So important. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you know what else was in the beginning? Glory. The glory came through the Word who became flesh, sent by the Father, and this was revealed at the cross. I believe this is the glory that John is talking about here, and he, along with the rest of the disciples, had a desire to proclaim it. Through his words and deeds, Jesus reveals to us God's glory. And not only his glory, he reveals to us God's glory, his grace, and his truth. And when it comes to grace and truth, it's something we all need. We all need grace and truth. But here's the thing. I feel that there are times when we don't want both. We all want grace. Give me grace, Lord. Give me grace. God, I need your grace. I don't deserve it, but I need it. Give me your grace, Lord. But I fear that we all want the grace, but we don't want the truth. Scripture doesn't say full of grace or truth, right? It's full of grace and truth. He came, sent by the Father, full of grace and truth. Scripture doesn't say there's a balance between it, 90% grace and 10% truth. No, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Friends, we cannot have grace without the truth. Mark said it last week, and I'm going to say it again here. Jesus stated it clearly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. We need the true light to guide our way. Jesus is the truth. We need to follow his examples, his teachings, so we can speak truth, have truth spoken into our own lives and into others we come in contact with. Jesus is the light. We find life in Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and in the beginning that Word had life in it. This is good news. This is glory that Jesus reveals. I found this photo while I was prepping this week, and I thought it was actually really beautiful. And you might not be able to see it all the way in the back, but at the top it says, I am, and it shows these hands. And underneath it says, the Word became flesh. And inscribed on the wrist going down to the hands, it reads these words. It says, I am resurrection. I am life. I am bread. I am light. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, truth, life. I am the vine. The disciples proclaimed it. So I ask, what about us? Are we quick to proclaim that Jesus is King? Are we quick to give out the good news? It's good news. Why don't we share it? The glory of God, the true meaning of Christmas. There's a question here. How many of us have seen Charlie Brown's Christmas, the Christmas special air on CBS every year? Okay. A little bit of backstory to this. Charles Schulz, he's the creator of the comic strip Peanuts. And that's where we get the characters Charlie Brown and Snoopy and others. And in 1963, producer Lee Mendelsohn had an idea to create a documentary of Schulz creating the characters. And this is actually where we get the first 2 minutes of the animated Peanuts footage that was created. The documentary, unfortunately, never aired, but there was an interested sponsor who was none other than Coca-Cola. So executives asked Schulz to come up with a Christmas special, and he agreed on one condition: that it tell the true meaning of Christmas. When the script was complete, the executives at CBS were not pleased. Actually, it's told they hated it. They claimed it moved too slow, there was not enough action, the voices were done by kids instead of adults, and scripture was recited in it? That's a big no-no. Execs actually told Schulz, you can't read from the Bible on network television. But Schulz insisted that the true meaning of Christmas be in the show. By the end of that meeting, the CBS executive told Mendelsohn, Schulz's producer of the show, well, you gave it a good shot. Believe me, we're big Peanuts fans, but maybe it's best suited for the comic page. But there was one thing that the CBS executives forgot. They had already made a commitment to Coca-Cola. And on December 9th, 1965, the special was aired. And it was viewed by 15.4 million viewers, placing second in the ratings. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh, was proclaimed on network television. Take a look.
I guess you were right, Linus. I shouldn't have picked this little tree. Everything I do turns into a disaster. I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
A devout Christian who focused on the Word was able to overcome the world. A few months later, Charles Schulz and Mendelsohn were on stage accepting an Emmy Award for the show that is now played on TV every year. And I wanted to play this part of the movie also here for us because I wanted to pay a special attention to the one character, Linus, who is reciting this scripture from Luke. Now, many of us who are familiar with Charlie Brown know about this character, Linus, but for those who don't, it's important to know that Linus has a security blanket, that blue blanket he was carrying around. He never lets it go, Anytime it's written in the comics or on the show, he never lets it go. It goes wherever he goes. Does anyone notice what Linus did with the blanket in that clip? He dropped it. He dropped it. Actually, if you go back and look, he drops the blanket when he says the words, "Fear not," which goes into, "I bring you good news." Jesus Christ is the good news. Don't we want to share that? But we lose our focus and we go back to what makes us comfortable. We pick up our security blanket and hold on to it. And instead of being focused on the word during this month, it's so much easier to get focused on the world. We tend to fill up our schedules so much and become so busy that at one point we're like, where's the time go? Where does it go? Or during this month, we tend to look at all these different deals that are all around, all these different buy one, get one free. What can we get for this person or that person? All these different ads are all around. Do you know that an average person sees between 4,000 to 10,000 ads in a day? In one day. You might not realize it, but you're seeing it. Whether it's on TV, radio, social media, ads in stores, bulletin boards as you pass by. What if even a quarter of those were proclaiming the word of God? Proclaiming the glory. Let Jesus have you. Put your focus there. And I get that it's challenging. It puts us out of our comfort zone. And I'll tell you what, I'm not perfect. Let me tell you this story. Back in November, a couple weeks ago, the week of Thanksgiving to be exact, I went into Giant in Souderton. And they have a Starbucks stand there. And I'll be honest, I enjoy Starbucks around this time of year. I enjoy getting their holiday drinks. So I walk in and there's two girls there that are attending the Starbucks stand. Now, when I'm ordering, I enjoy having fun and joking around with the people that are making the drinks. They're standing on their feet all day. I want to make them laugh. I enjoy making people laugh, actually. And so I say to the girl, I say, hey, I will take a toasted white chocolate mocha. I'm excited. Load up the whipped cream. Don't be shy on it. And don't forget the sugar on top and load that up as well. And she's laughing. And she says, wow. She was just like, where do you get that joy? I wish that was something I could have. And in my mind, I'm just like, wow, this is a great opportunity to present Jesus to her. Should I do it? And I kept battling with myself in my brain. Should I do it? No, don't do it. Should I do it? No, don't do it. There's a long line behind me. What are the people behind me going to think? No, don't do it. Should I do it? Are you going to do it? Okay, I'll do it. Are you going to do it? Okay, I'll do it. And then I get to this point where I said, okay, here I go. I'm going to do it. And I open my mouth and nothing comes out. And I battle with myself in my brain this whole entire time of trying to figure out how exactly am I going to present Jesus to this girl. So then I noticed she was finishing up my drink and she was getting ready to put the whipped cream on top. And I yelled out to her, I said, load it up. And she looks at me and she says again, she's like, yeah, I need that joy in my life. So I thought, wow, again, this has got to be an opportunity. So I said, you know, that joy you're talking about, I can honestly say that's because I have Jesus in my heart. And she looked at me, and she was silent at first, and she said, yeah, I get that, but sometimes I just feel like he doesn't love me. Now, she really did have a long line behind her, and I knew she had to get back to work, but I needed her to know. I needed her to know. So I said, he does. I promise you that. He loves you a lot. And she nodded, and she went back to work and to the next customer. And then this past Monday, I went grocery shopping. And before I started my hunt on the shopping list that Alicia gave me, and before I called her saying, where's this thing, where's this thing? I do that a lot, believe it or not. I stopped at Starbucks, and the same girl was there. And she recognized me, and I ordered the same thing, toasted white chocolate mocha. And after my order, I said, did you find that joy yet? And she said, not yet. I said, why not? She then goes into telling me that she feels like she just wants to escape. She's feeling such pressure from her life, all these different people around her, and she just can't get out, and all she wants to do is just escape this world. And I said, well, do you remember that joy I told you about last time? She said, yeah, I remember. I said, I understand you need to escape. I've been there. I said, but he can help you. Don't forget, because Jesus is there, and he hasn't forgotten about you. And she smiled and she thanked me again. Then I grabbed my coffee. I went shopping with Owen. And now this time I learned my lesson from last time, because back in November I came home without Starbucks for Alicia. So I paid for my groceries, went to the stand and ordered a cup for Alicia. And I just felt I still should say just one more thing. So I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you have a church to go to, but you are more than welcome to join my wife and I at church on Sundays. We'll save a seat for you. We would love to worship with you. You would be more than welcome. And I'll tell you this, she seemed so grateful by that invitation. Actually, I saw a different smile on her than before. Here's the thing, I pray I was able to bring good news into her life. I pray for more opportunities with her. I pray that one day she could be sitting here with Alicia and I. I pray that I can continue to proclaim the word into her life. Proclaim the word, not the world. Let others see your joy come from the word. And may the glory of God be seen through that. We want grace, yes, but we also need the truth. Let that be the message we share to all people throughout this season and our lives. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. We are grateful for you, Father God, that the word was with you in the beginning. We are so grateful, Lord, for you sending your Son, the true light to this world, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, sinful creatures. We are so grateful, Father God, for grace, and we are so grateful for truth, and that your truth, Lord God, can be spoken into our lives. We are so grateful for your glory, Father God, that is revealed from your Son, that is revealed at the cross, that the glory that was with you in the beginning, Lord, and we pray that that glory can span out among us beyond these church walls to the community and the world, Father God. There are good things in this world. Let's not forget that. You created this world, Father God, but we as sinful creatures, Father God, need to focus on that glory. We as sinful creatures, Father God, need to focus on your word, so that we can continue with you, Father God, working through us, continue to let what is good in this world be seen and overcome the darkness. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.